Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at some music, summertime music. Have you ever had one of those moments when you hear a song and suddenly you feel like you're in a different place? It's taking you back. That's especially true for songs that we remember for summer. And Tom Wilmoth is back with us today. We had so much fun the last time he was on. He's been a collector of popular music since childhood, currently a professor of English at Concordia University in Mequon. He's also the author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening. So we're going to talk to him about songs that remind you of summer and me of summer. What music sends you back to a favorite summer? I'd love to hear from you, and I hope you'll give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can always post on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. And Tom Wilmoth, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Great to be here again. Wonderful to be in Madison.
I think I've got all these songs up, and I can't get any of them to work right now. But hopefully we'll get them to work.
Well, you name one, I'll sing it.
Let me try once more. Let's see if I can get... can't get it to work. Well...
You know, the people will really... they'll be able to hear these tunes in their heads when we say some of these titles. I'm convinced.
I'm convinced of that as well. And Chris Molina, maybe our on-air producer today, can figure it out. But I am just not able to get it. But what songs take you back to summer the instant you hear it?
I think a lot of, as far as one group, the Beach Boys have so much of their early material based in sun and fun and cars and surfing. And growing up in Des Moines, Iowa, we were a long way from the surf, and I was too young for cars. But whether it was 409 or something about a surfer girl, those really connected with the... with summer just immediately back for me. And I think that's true with a lot of them. And as a matter of fact, that's what Brian Wilson started to want to get away from, is the beach music and the cars and some of the fun summer things. But they are forever associated with summer, certainly. The Beach Boys are huge. There's the song that we were talking about a little while ago called Summertime Blues by a guy named Eddie Cochran. And a lot of listeners, of course, know that because of The Who's supercharged version on Live at Leeds. But in between those two, there was a group called Blue Cheer that had a huge hit single with Summertime Blues. And for a while, they were known as the loudest band out there. But Blue Cheer had the hit with Summertime Blues, and then The Who took it, and on Live at Leeds just really made it their own again. But if you go back and listen to that Eddie Cochran one, it's a pop tune from about 1957, and it's one of those tunes that clocks in under 2 minutes. He gets in, hits it, gets out, and it's going to raise a fuss. I'm going to raise a holler.
I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and he had a song on the River album called Sherry Darling,
right.
And he always said it should have been released in the summer. What do you think of that song?
That's a great song. Sherry Darling is, as a matter of fact, there are some live recordings from the 1978 tour where he's touring for the Darkness on the Edge of Town album, and he says this one was going to be on Darkness. It didn't quite make it. And then he kicks through Sherry Darling. But the intro on a couple of the well-known bootlegs are things like, he says, this should have been a single, should have been released in the summertime. And girls melting on the beach and talking about taking your girlfriend somewhere, and the mother's in the back seat. And it's a great story song. But just, he talks about it being a party song, a frat rot rock song with loud cheering in the background. But yes, that's a wonderful song.
I've got that up. Let me see if I can get that one to work. No, I can't get that one to work either,
okay.
Unfortunately.
Well.
Oh, darn. I'm sorry for that, but it's a wonderful song for sure. Ray, in West Allis wants to chime in here. Let's go there. Ray, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for this subject. I don't remember. It might have been 1964. I don't remember exactly. It was Dancing in the Streets by Martha and the Mandelas.
That, Huge one for the Motown label, absolutely. No, you're right. It's Martha and the Vandellas. And interesting thing about that tune is, you probably know, so many other people have taken that and run with it. Even some unexpected bands like the Grateful Dead would do stretch-out versions of that. And Dancing in the Street is, well, several people have had hits with that. And that's a perennial. And, again, I think it speaks to the whole idea of freedom and summer and getting outside, and we can really appreciate that in the Midwest.
Yeah. But yeah. As a young teenager, it definitely lit it up for me. In the last couple of years, I have actually emailed Martha Reeves a few times. She's very accessible. She's been very nice. I told her how many memories that brings back for me and how much I love their group, and she's always very gracious, and she always responds.
That's great to hear. It's when you have an artist that you can actually have a conversation with, and they respond in kind and just have a brief conversation, that can be very meaningful. That's great to hear that.
Thanks, Ray.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Bye. Yeah, appreciate that call. Summerfest has played a big role in a lot of people's summertime memories, and it's hard to believe it's celebrating 50 years.
It is. I was reading something as far as the organizers. I think it was even maybe predating Mayor Meyer. The first meeting about it was like 1962, thinking about getting this music festival together that would kick off several years later. But it was in the works for a while, and for it to be 50 years old is... We're celebrating a lot of 50th anniversaries this year, but that's a big one here locally, certainly.
This is my 50th year on the air.
Well, there you go. There's another one.
There's another one. Oh, my goodness me. What was your most memorable concert from Summerfest? And you attended a few.
Some of the ones that I liked most, I think, as far as a main stage... I saw Dwight Yoakam down there, and it was the main stage, and it was an interesting show because there was a lightning show going on over the lake, and Yoakam commented a couple of times as far as the audience usually gets the light show, but we're getting it tonight, and I think they even delayed a little bit because of electrical worries, but that was a great one. There have been just so many others. Main stage and side stage, too, is what I always talk about as far as Summerfest is concerned. Yes, a couple of years ago, Elvis Costello, who's coming back through a town again, not to Summerfest, but there's just so much going on the main stages. Yes, but on the side stages as well. The Everly Brothers. I saw the Everly Brothers on a side stage. Like I say, Elvis Costello, and yes, on side stages. It's a wonderful place, and also for checking out things that you don't go down there necessarily to see. The unexpected, a lot of the very tiny stages set up now right by the lake and the drum circle by the lake. And years ago, my wife Ellie and I were walking down there, and there was a little band set up not even on a stage, and they played some tunes, a group called Johnny on Wash Day. And they were just remarkable. And so we were not going down to see them. We'd never heard of them. But the things you encounter, just being down there for a while can be just so much fun.
Oh, for sure. Well, Linda in Brookfield has something for us. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, when we think of classic summer songs, this is going to be going way back, I guess, from what you're talking about now. But... what I think of is I think of back to the 1960s. I'm in my 50s, but I think about in the 1960s, and my parents used to have these cocktail parties in Southern California, and they always listened to The Girl from Ipanema, you know, that classic song about
Carlos
the girl
Drew
walking
Beam
on the
that.
Beach.
Right.
Yeah, and it just I think of that, like the warm summer nights, and just, I don't know, it's very nostalgic for me when I hear that song, and, you know, but sort of tranquil and peaceful and happy days back, you know, going back then.
It really evokes a mood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It totally does.
It's a great mood now, and it puts you back to your parents' cocktail parties also. But, yeah, The Girl from Ipanema just stands alone in some ways. That haunting voice, Stan Getz. Yeah. It's just, a kind of a standalone record.
You know, I started swiveling my hips a little bit here in the chair.
Just hearing that nice bossa nova beat.
Right. Yeah.
I just crack up because when they had the Brazilian or the Olympics in Brazil.
Yeah.
Where that last was. And that was like one of their opening songs, I think, because they're right. so proud of their beautiful beaches there and everything. And they played that and it was summertime. And I was like, oh, this is so nostalgic. So.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Oh, boy. You mentioned the Everly Brothers. Lots of musicians say the Everly Brothers were a big influence on them. And you've seen them, of course, as you mentioned. But
I saw them on the side stage, and then I saw them, I think it was the last time through at the Riverside. This has been 15 years ago. But what I was so impressed with, they sounded just like the records. And I had a good seat. I was down close. And what was interesting is they have such tight harmonies. They didn't even have to look at each other at all for those. If you've got two singers, usually they're looking at each other's, mouths and lips to make sure they just nail it. These guys didn't even have to look at each other, and it was as perfect as the record. And they had a great backup band that night. Albert Lee was on guitar, and it was just a wonderful band. And the Everlys, yes, but as far as influence, well,
yeah, I was going to ask you.
Even John Lennon, Paul McCartney would talk about how important their harmonies were to the Beatles' own harmonies as far as their early days. As a matter of fact, right after the Beatles hit, a couple of people urged the Everly Brothers to record a couple of Beatles songs with their harmonies. And the Everlys, they took the high road, and they said, no, we've had our day. Let's let the Beatles do their own material at this point. But certainly John Lennon and Paul McCartney would talk about how much they loved the harmonies of the Everly Brothers.
Oh, very cool. We're talking today with Tom Wilmoth, and we're just kind of dealing with summertime music and a little bit about Summerfest. Maybe you've got an experience to share from Summerfest, or maybe just an unforgettable summertime concert or a summer song. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mehler Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you.
You know, Larry, one of the things that I enjoyed the last couple of years at Summerfest, and again, an unexpected thing, they've started doing something called School of Rock.
Mm.
And they open up the stages for a lot of these high school and younger bands coming in.
Yes.
And Ellie and I were walking the grounds. It was a School of Rock afternoon, and we were just very impressed with the level of musicianship. And there was a band out of Upper Wisconsin, and they were going through Pink Floyd's Astronomy Domini, and I just couldn't hardly believe how some of these bands were just nailing such different styles and working so hard. But the School of Rock, and I think it takes up one or two afternoons, but I think the Summerfest people are very gracious about opening the stage to these people.
And, I think you think about the Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, when all these Norwegians and Germans who sent their kids, had their kids in music and band and so forth were, that probably led to a lot of those bands.
I think that has to be right. And again, that's why that leads into public school support for music, mm-hmm. absolutely, and how important it is. And just like you're saying, seeing the results of that on stage as far as music education, absolutely.
Yeah, my daughter's in, she just graduated grade 8, but she's already in the high school summer band program for her high school, and she's learning so much and having so much fun.
They
just get to love music and love being with these other people, and it's great experience.
And great parties.
Yeah, great. And a lot of late nights for the parents. I can tell you that for free. Let's go to Diane in Appleton next. Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Great topic.
Thank you.
Yeah, even though some of the individual songs are super, the ones that really put me right in the middle of a summer experience are the musicals, Porgy and Bess, The Music Man, Oklahoma, that put you right in the middle of the summer sun.
Yeah.
Watching a parade, working in a field, burning up under the sun. Those are the ones that really can take you away and put you right in summer.
Yeah.
I have always said that even in my pre-rock era listening, the musicals that you just mentioned are some of the greatest songs written in the 20th century. I mean, some of those tunes coming out of those musicals are so strong. Just remarkable. And again, we'll come full circle on Meet the Beatles. We have Paul singing "Till There Was You" from The Music Man.
Mm-hmm.
But you
summertime.
Go into
Summertime from Porgy and Bess.
Summertime, absolutely. And just wonderful, wonderful music in there. Really endearing and enduring songs that are just great. I sure agree with you on that.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Diana. I very much appreciate it. Tom Wilmoth, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Chris Molina, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Net. Having some fun talking about summer music with Tom Wilmoth. Tom, great guy, and is the author of Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening. He's currently a professor of English at Concordia University in Mequon. So it's great to have him along. And certainly if you've got a memory to share or a favorite song you want to talk about, give a call, 800-642-1234. Julia in Mazamani. You're
Hi,
up.
Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I won a transistor radio when I was in the sixth grade, and that was back in the 1960s. So I'm going to sound like the ultimate baby boomer here. But right after I won that transistor radio, the Carole King Tapestry album came out. And the music from that album absolutely defined that summer for me before I went into junior high. And I remember being at the public pool in the Chicago suburbs, and she was everywhere. So I just wanted to comment on that. Every time I hear Carole King, it takes me back to being about 12, 13 years old, and summertime, laying there getting a suntan and eating a lot of ice cream.
And that transistor right up to your ear.
I was pretty darn proud of myself to have won that in the school candy sale. Yes, sir.
When I was 13, my dad and mom bought me a silver tone little radio, and I walked around with that thing almost attached to my ear, and I'd put it on my bike. I'd had a handle kind of thing, and occasionally fall off the bike when the handle broke apart. But
good stuff. That Silvertone guitars and Sears was a good place. Sears had a great record selection for a long time. Silvertone material was quality stuff. Tapestry. I don't think there's a person listening who would disagree. Tapestry is such an important record. It's Carole King's high watermark, certainly. I mean, on there we have the songs that she'd been writing for the past 15 years, and she pulled the best of them on there, and just tune for tune, Tapestry is wonderful. There's a Broadway production of her life coming through Madison and Milwaukee very soon called Beautiful. It's gotten very good reviews. As a matter of fact, I'm going to it next week. But Jerry Goff and Carole King, tremendously important writing team. And again, we're back to the Beatles as far as the reason that John Lennon and Paul McCartney took the Lennon-McCartney writing credit for their material is they wanted to be the Goff and King of England. And They both said that more than once. We wanted to be the Goff and King of England, Lennon McCartney. So again, as opposed to individual credits for their tunes. But yeah, Carole King's Tapestry sold many millions of copies, many millions of 8-tracks back in the days as well.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Well, Bob in Monona, we got to go to you next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Just wanted to call and see what your guests had to say about a guy who was at the University of Wisconsin when I was there about 50 years ago, Boz Scaggs. He used to play in a band with Steve Miller, and I guess he's on his own now, of course, but he's going to be in Madison tomorrow night, I believe.
Yeah.
Boz Scaggs is one of these guys. I think they put him in a time warp because he still looks like he did about 40 years ago. And, of course, he had the huge hit with Silk Degrees, an album from about 40 years ago. Lido Shuffle was a huge tune. And that entire record is great. But even before that, all of those things on Columbia Records that Boz Scaggs was doing, Boz Scaggs and Band, and he had several really good records that didn't really do anything. And then it was the story of, well, Silk Degrees came out and Lido Shuffle, and boom, sold some records and the record company liked it. But he's a very talented guy. And, you know, your lineage is absolutely spot on as far as his Madison connection is strong. This would be the place to see him in Madison because he does have some connection. And very, very, very talented guy. And, you know, he was in San Francisco for a long time during the Fillmore era. And then he dropped out. Actually, he dropped out of music for a while and started a restaurant. And then kind of turned his back on it. And he was also I think he got kind of tired of certain elements of it. I think at one time I read he wanted people to come to his concerts dropping the attitude of the hippie movement and kind of wanted him to dress up a little bit. I don't know how that went, but he's back, and I'm sure it'll be a great, great show. I wish I were going to be there.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. And let's go to Antonio in Green Bay. Thank you for calling. Hi.
You're welcome, Larry. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I had to pull over so I can talk to you guys. Because a friend of mine and I, we are both about to retire, and we set up a surf band. But we play instrumental surf music such as Handel's and Ventures and Dick Dale and what have you. You guys should talk about them. I mean, for the guys like us who can't sing, that was an excellent alternative.
Well, let's talk about them. I think that without a doubt, the Ventures really ruled the roost. In the pre-Beatle era, the Ventures were tremendously important. As a matter of fact, I saw Gary Talent at Shank Hall in Milwaukee not very long ago, and he said from the stage that in the pre-Beatle era, what you were doing is you were working out the instrumental stuff from the Ventures and these things, and they played a couple of Ventures tunes near the end of their set. That was a fine show, by the way. And you've got a variety of – you've got Pipeline, you've got Wipeout, you've got the Shantays as a band, some interesting kind of one-off tunes like Back Up and Push and Walk, Don't Run. And there's a huge number of instrumental tunes that – they get used for background now a lot, but they certainly hold up in their own right. You mentioned Dick Dale as far as surf music. That's very interesting material. I agree with you. It gets overshadowed by vocals, of course. But, boy, that's a really important genre of rock, especially early rock. But God bless you for going after that style. I'd love to hear your band.
Thank you so much. Gloria in Portage, on to you now. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I grew up in a small rural community in Ohio, and every little community had its own community swimming pool, and every weekend there would be dance parties at the pool, and it seemed like all of our high schools had several rock bands, there would be Battle of the Bands every weekend at the pools, and I just, the song that stands out for me in late 60s, early 70s is when I went to high school, was Wipeout, which I think your previous caller.
Yeah, you bet. The Safaris. That's just, you've got that opening. I won't do it. But you've got that opening shouting Wipeout, and then you're into the drum beat, and do we have to play copyright on that? But you're just kind of cruising along with that, and it's just a fun ride.
It is. And, you just were not a respectable band at those pool parties, you couldn't do Wipeout.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Well, good. Battle of the Bands are always fun. I remember talking not too long ago to some groups that were playing down at the Eagles Ballroom, and it was a multi-band bill, and he was saying to me, well, every night is a Battle of the Bands. It's just the way it is. We're all trying to outdo each other every night. Attitude. Good.
Thanks, Gloria.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And Jeff in Madison, let's go to you. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, I wanted to offer one of my favorite summertime songs, 1966, 11 Spoonfuls, Hot Town, Summer in the City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I start to sweat hearing the title of that. That's just, you're out there with the drill hammer, and yeah, absolutely.
And then the cool evenings, and yeah, it's just great. And then the backdrop of the traffic, and it all works very well together.
It does. It describes summer in the city in a 3-minute package. It really, like you say, the hot days and the cool nights and the highs and lows of it as far as temperature. But I agree, that's a remarkable record. And the Love and Spoonful in some ways are almost an overlooked band at this point. You've got John Sebastian still out there and not touring much, but the Love and Spoonful had a remarkable stretch of hits. Do You Believe in Magic, Darling Be Home Soon. The Love and Spoonful is just and Sebastian talks about how they kind of got looked down on because either they weren't political enough or they were too upbeat or cheerful. Those tunes are really, really good, and especially if you go just beyond the first one or two of the hits, if you dive just a little bit deeper into their other hits, great, great stuff.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeff, for calling. And Linda in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Linda.
Well, it's summer, it's parade season, and just about every band marching is doing a Sousa tune. Because why are we having a parade? It's a patriotic holiday of one sort or another.
Boy, I agree with you. And I'm a tuba player, so I'm right there with you. I'm right there. And as a matter of fact, of course, I in marching band, I played the sousaphone because John Philip Sousa designed the instrument. But I'm with you as far as marching bands and getting out there and sitting down in the... On the grass, and you've got up in Port Washington or someplace with a huge bandstand, and yeah, get that brass out there where you can hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'm hearing a lot of that this summer with my daughter. And those are always fun.
Absolutely.
There are some good bands out there.
Sure.
Leslie in Chatfield, Minnesota, your turn. Hi.
Speaking of fun, Larry, this whole show has been just so fun. Just to reminisce about all the great summertime music is just fabulous. Sure beats the heck out of politics. I called in one other time, I think years ago about this, but when we were kids, our neighbors had a garage band and they would play down their basement and they would open that little window, the ground level window, and us neighbor kids would just sit outside there and listen to them. They opened the window so we could hear it. And then at the very end, they'd always play Wipeout for us, which was absolutely amazing.
Crowd pleaser.
But then, yeah, but CCR, they're like a summertime band to me too. I just every time I hear CCR, and I'm right with that Julia, I think it was, with Carole King Tapestry. I had the 8-track, knew every single word, played it 1,000 times, so it was just great.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks so much for calling. Thinking about a lot of these older songs and a lot of these older men and women out there. Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson are still out there touring, and I believe you saw them last time.
I did.
Around, didn't you?
Well, when they played Summerfest several years ago, that was a really good night, beautiful night, and Willie opened for Bob that night, and Willie Nelson still had a lot of energy at that point and put on a great show. And I remember, you know, you have specific memories. I just remember him saying, "You like Hank Williams?" And then he did like 3 Hank Williams songs back to back, and it seemed very fresh. And like he was just—I'd seen him before, and he was good. And I didn't know if it'd be the same show, but boy, he was really good that night. And then Dylan came on, and he too was. This was before the Frank Sinatra era, for lack of a better term, and it was so he was doing his own songs, and that too was a very, very good set. And he's had that band together for quite a long time, and those two plus some other people are coming back. I think it's the last night of Summerfest, but when I saw them there at Summerfest several years ago, that was a really good show.
John in Amsterdam, your turn. Hi, John.
Hello, John from Amsterdam. I'm here visiting family and friends, and I started listening to your show, and I thought, I'm going to make sure they don't play music in addition to the talking, because there's no way I want to hear one song that was kind of like has been a worm in my ear since the 60s. It's a horrible song. I know you mentioned all good songs, but I used to start singing this when we had these days, and I think it was part of my divorce. The name of the song, the lyrics to the song are, "Those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, those days of soda and pretzels and beer." It was kind of an AM song that was in the 60s. You remember it? Don't play it.
I'm going to sing it. Yeah, that's Nat King Cole, and that's Nat when he was doing the Ramblin' Rose era, and when he was all of a sudden known for being a singer instead of a piano player. He's a killer piano player. But he got into the big hits, and a beautiful voice, of course. But, yeah, roll out those. I'm tempted to go into it. But, you describe it. Well, there has to be something about that, because you just quoted that so perfectly. But, yes, that's Nat King Cole in the mid-60s, and I can hear my father singing that as we're driving around. But, yeah, it's an earworm, and I hope we can get it out of your head. But, yeah, that's Nat King Cole.
So stay listening, and you hear some other songs. And maybe
we'll talk about some others.
Put something else into your head, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, boy. Mike in Milwaukee. Your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hi. I just want to quick put up my first place worst song. It's Is That All There Is? And I can't remember who sang it, but I think that was the one.
Oh, that's like, all there is to life.
Is it, that's Peggy Lee.
Yeah.
And that's really the very last tune of Lieber and Stoller. That's like almost their swan song as far as writing credits. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, it's kind of their last thing. And yeah, Peggy Lee talking about going to the circus, and then like, so is that it? And then like a love affair, so is that it? And then life, is that you? Yeah, you're right. That's a very unusual tune.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just wanted to add to your comment earlier about Boss Skaggs. And I think his very first album was probably the best of all of his albums. It was recorded in Muscle Shoals with Dwayne Allman.
Right.
And just a top-notch group of house recording artists. And I believe one of Aretha Franklin's best albums was recorded down there in Muscle Shoals. I can't remember which.
Yeah, remarkable studio. That you're right. You know that Boss Skaggs. When all the other stuff is on Columbia. That first one is on Atlantic, and that's got the 12-minute version of "Loan Me a Dime" on it, and that's really a tour de force for Dwayne Allman. People, it was such a loss when he died to the Allman Brothers Band in 71. But he was a studio guy of first call, and that his guitar playing is all over that record. And there's been a lot of material documented about his session work. But I agree that first Boss Skaggs album is and it's got Jimmy Rogers Waiting on a Train. That's a fine record.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mike, for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, lots of good calls here. Nancy in Grafton, your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. When we got married 64 years ago, we wanted to have Romy Gaz play for our wedding dance. And the guy that owned the dance hall said, sometimes Romy and the boys, they stop and they don't kind of make it on time. We said, well, heck, we'll have Dick Rogers. And we had Dick Rogers. And when it was time to pay for the band at the end of the dance, we went up to Johnny Schumacher and we said, well, how much do we owe, you know, for the band? He says, I made so much money over the bar, I paid for the band myself. And the other thing is a group of us sing at nursing homes. And we were at a nursing home, and one of the ladies who was there I used to take care of. And so the last song we always sing when we sing at these nursing homes is You Are My Sunshine. Well, her family had asked if I would say something prior to her funeral mass. And so I was at the microphone, and I talked about her, and then I said... And I had gone up to her that night, the last time we sang there, and I went right by her ear, even when she was kind of comatose. And I went up to her ear, and I sang, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. And I sang that in church before her funeral mass. And that whole church, the people, their smiles on their faces, and it was just turned everything around because everybody was happy and happy for her.
Yeah. Oh, what a great story.
That's a good story. I want to go to her wedding, though. That sounds like they had an awfully good... You know, You're My Sunshine is... Governor Jimmy Davis gets the credit for writing that, but that gets into that whole school of who wrote what.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, you could buy... Willie Nelson would talk about, you know, selling some of his songs to other people, and they still have the other person's name on it, but... Family Bible, I think that happened too with Willie. Cause he would sell a song for $25 just because he needed it. And You're My Sunshine, I better be careful here, but there's some question whether Governor Davis actually wrote that. But that was a very common thing, especially in country music back then.
Thank you, Nancy. There are probably smiles on everybody's face, but I bet there were a tear or two, happy tears.
Yes.
When that happened. Thank you, Nancy. Rod in Arlington... Your turn. Hi, Rod.
Yeah, hi. How you doing today?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a group that I remember when I was back in the 60s, when I was a teenager, was Jan and Dean.
Right.
And they did Dead Man's Curve and a lot of different songs like that. It was kind of that surfer type stuff. And you know, you were talking about the young people today and the stages they set up at Summerfest for the young high school groups and things like that. And I thought I'd mention something a lot of people don't know about, and that's the Oregon High School Band south of Madison.
Yep.
Is the only DCI, Drum Corps International, open class group in the country. And my granddaughter's member.
There you go.
There we go. Oh, man.
Well, that gets us back to such a wide variety of types of music, and we had the caller a little bit ago as far as marching bands, and we talked about brass, and you're right. It's just such a wide, wide palette of music out there, and summertime, you're outside. I was down at in Milwaukee. I was down at Shank Hall the other night, and I was talking to one of the waitresses, and I said, you've got a lot of dark nights these days. A lot of nights you're closed. And she says, well, it's impossible to compete with what's going on outdoors this season. And there's so much music of such a wide variety, just like what you're talking about. Congratulations on that, by the way. That's great to hear.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Jan in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Jan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a couple comments. First, my summertime song would be Ventura Highway, 1972, when I was in high school, by America. And I was lucky enough when I was on the Ventura Highway in 1980 to actually hear the song come on the radio as I was driving down the highway.
So oh.
That was cool. But I go back to the Carole King and the James Taylor, Nicolette Larson days as well. I've still got my albums from James Taylor and Carole King, and I was lucky enough to see her at Summerfest. And then also, speaking of drum corps, the Spectacle of Music that used to happen back in South Milwaukee back in the 60s and 70s, and everybody from everywhere across the United States would come there with their marching bands, and it was always a great time growing up.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, I want to get one more. Randy in Madison, your turn. Hi, Randy.
Hi. 15 years later, I can still remember the shock of seeing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band cover in a store. And the thing was is that that whole album was kind of a soundtrack for, you know, what they call the Summer of Love, 67. I guess, you know, we were hearing that whole album again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is such a huge topic. It's it's not the elephant in the room, but it's the kind of thing that you start walking down the Sgt. Pepper road, you're not coming back. There's so much to say about that. But I agree, you know, it was, you didn't hear a song off of that record. You heard the record. And it wasn't like now where you could kind of pick and choose. Well, the only thing we would do is, of course, for side two, we would jump over Within You and Without You and start at sorry, George. You'd start at the second tune in. But other than that, you played it all the way through. And occasionally we'd humor George and play Within You and Without You. But boy, few of us got it at that point. I'll say that. But that is such an important record. And of course, the 50th anniversary and the remix by George Martin's son, Giles. That's a huge story, and such a wonderful record, and a big deal is being made of its 50th anniversary, and rightly so. And you're right, that was a huge record that summer. The Beatles were almost being written off by the British press, like, well, I guess it's over for them, and they put that out, and minds were changed pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. Thank you so much, Randy. Oh man! By the way, Tom, I love your book, Soundbites: A Lifetime of Listening.
Thank you.
I hope you've sold some copies of that book.
I have sold a few copies of that, and I'm getting good reaction to it. It is available on Amazon, Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening. And I'm happy with the way it came out. It's been out for a few months now, and it's a group of my writings about music over the past. Well, I think the earliest review goes back to 1969 or 1970 down in Des Moines when I lived in grew up in Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, I tell you what, it was fun talking to you when that book first came out, and it's fun talking to you today. I hope you can come back and do this again. It was so much fun.
Loved it. Absolutely. Thank you.
Tom Wilmoth, passionate collector of popular and unpopular music since childhood, currently a professor of English at Concordia University in Mequon, and author of Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening. Wasn't that fun? We'll do that again, and the next time I'll make sure that the music will be working the next time he's here, because that would add to it too a little bit, I think. But it was lots and lots of fun. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, we're gonna switch gears a little bit and talk with you about a book that's out called Thousand Miler: Adventures Hiking the Ice Age Trail. And there were plenty of adventures we can talk about with our guest coming up next on the Ideas Network.